Well, if you got a Bible this morning, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 20. So good to see you here today. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 20. I remind you tonight, Brother Jimbo Seaton will be here preaching at 6 o'clock. I hope you'll come back. In a men's prayer room, quarter to 6 this evening. And I hope you'll be praying for the meeting tonight. Now I'd ask that you'd pray for me. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 20. You'll stand, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God if you can and are able this morning. Matthew chapter number 20. Glad we have a God that is faithful. Amen. The Bible said, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, then go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way, and I'll give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. Thank you for standing this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you for this time together. Now I pray, Lord, you'd bring the things to my heart and mind that I've tried to study and apply myself. I pray now you'd let me be a blessing a few minutes. Touch me on weak and body today. And I pray, God, you'd help me to be a blessing. Draw those, Lord, that are away from you close. Those that are lost, I pray, God, you'd knock on their heart this morning. Save them by your amazing grace. Those that are sick, I pray you'd touch them. God, those that are discouraged, I pray you'd touch them with encouragement today. Help our church to ever be faithful to you and stand it all to you. And we'll be careful and honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. The Bible said, and they, when they received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. We'll preach on this simple topic today. Lord being my helper. On, are you committed or complaining? Are you committed or complaining? Now, in this parable of the story here that Jesus spoke about, first of all, you'll notice there is an appearance. All of a sudden, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, that he went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Now, I want to say that every king has a kingdom. And I sure am glad that I know the king that runs the kingdom. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ is our King. And you'll notice in this passage, in this kingdom, there is someone that is reigning in the kingdom.
I remind you that Washington's not in charge. I remind you that the mayor and the governors are not in charge. Yes, they sit in a place of authority, but they are not in charge. For there's one king and he has a kingdom. And he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is a reigning and then there is a residing. The Bible said that he was acting as a householder in verse number 1. I'm glad I know the Lord Jesus who is over the kingdom. Then not only is he reigning and residing, but he is revealing. Look what our Lord is doing. He's looking for people to be involved in the kingdom. Brother Adam preached a message the other morning on are you a fan or a follower? There are a lot of fans of Jesus, but there are not really many followers of Jesus. Because you see, if you really follow Jesus, that brings commitment to our life. Many of you, you just want to come to church, but you don't want to be part of a church. Would somebody help me on a Sunday morning? There's a lot of you, you'd love to be a child of God, but you don't want to get active as a child of God. You'll find that a king in his kingdom, he's not only reigning and ruling, but he's also revealing. He's looking for laborers, not spectators, but laborers in the kingdom. Notice what he said. He went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. This isn't your vineyard. And it's not my vineyard. God has just entrusted us to work a while in His vineyard. Now I want to say this thing of this appearance and this reigning, residing, and revealing. He's looking for laborers. And I'm reminded in Matthew's Gospel chapter number 9 and verse number 37. Matthew 9 and verse number 37. Jesus was talking to His disciples. He is healing in Galilee. And the Bible said in Matthew 9 and 36, He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion on them. Brother Mike, aren't you glad we have a Christ that's full of compassion? And then He says, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Now, not only is there an appearance, but notice back in this text of Matthew 20, there is an arrangement. He said simply in verse number 1 that He went out early in the morning to hire laborers into His vineyard. And this arrangement, first of all, He was very much involved. He went out early. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ that He left His home. He left heaven to come to this world. And therefore, there was an arrangement. I'm glad that He's very involved in His vineyard. He's unlike many rich men. Many rich men plant vineyards and they hire someone to oversee it and they move on off and go to other things. But not this king. This king is... Oh, help me, Lord. This king is very involved in His kingdom. This king is very involved in His vineyard. And I want to say He's very involved. He went out early. And then notice, He's not only involved, He's inviting. I believe with all of my heart that everybody that was invited or called, they did not become laborers in the kingdom. But I'm going to tell you, the gospel still invites you this morning. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad there's a great invitation in the kingdom? My, I think many times we forgot about this great invitation in the kingdom. So in this arrangement, there's involvement and there's inviting him, but there's also, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but there's also a investing. The Bible said that he would hire laborers in his vineyard. I wonder, has he give anybody anything for being involved in his vineyard? He's made investments in you as a person. He's invested his life in you. There are a lot of young people here today. You need to hear this preaching. There's been mom and daddies that have invested a livelihood into you. They've made great investments into your life that you would produce good works for the honor and the glory of our Father. I've not poured time in my children for them to just act anyway and to lay out a church and Johnny come lately and to serve a Buddha or a Muhammad. Me and my wife has made great investments in our children. And I'm going to tell you, our Heavenly Father has made great investments in me as a child of God. He's invested in me. I wonder what he's getting back on his investment. He's invested in you many things. I want to say that this great king, he's invested his death in you. He gave death that you may have life. He died on an old rugged cross. He gave his life for you and me. Looks like we ought to be able to live for him. He's just asking us simply to live for him and to work in his vineyard and be a part of his kingdom. Oh my, the great investments that he's made in me and you. He's invested people in my life. Thank God for the people that he's put in my path, that he's made investments of people in my life. God's invested in me many privileges that I've enjoyed because I've been a child in his kingdom. God has invested so much in you. He gave his life. And I'm going to tell you in this arrangement, not only there's a involvement, he's very active, and there's invitations. He's out seeking laborers to hire. There's also investing. He's given a lot to get us to come work in the vineyard. He's given his life for us. But not, watch this, not only is there an appearance and arrangement, but in verse number 2, there's an agreement. And this is where I want to settle down and preach a few minutes. Verse number 2, and when he had agreed, underline that word, when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Now there was an agreement. It was for a wage. A penny a day don't sound like much, but this was a denarius. This was a day's wage of a Roman soldier. Therefore, you'll notice that in this agreement that they agreed together for a wage. Do you remember when you came to the Lord and you made an agreement? Do you remember that you agreed to do things His way? Would some of you just remember the agreement that you had when the Lord knocked on your heart of mercy and grace and you came running down to Him and you took it just the way He presented it to you? Because if you told Him what you had to have, notice this, He told them what they would get. I'm going to tell you, you'll not tell the Lord. The Lord always tells you, and you've got to take it His way or there'll be no other way. There's a lot of places, a lot of ministries trying to say, well, you know, you can just have it your way. But that's Burger King religion and that's a fairy tale. The Bible said straight and narrow is the way that leadeth to righteousness. And few be there that find it. You, do you remember when you came and you made that agreement with the Lord? Some of you got saved at an altar. Do you remember the agreement that you made with the Lord? You say, preacher, what agreement did you make? Do you remember when you said, Lord, save me? And He did. Oh, I'm glad that there are great agreements in the kingdom. And therefore, He sent out and you'll notice in these agreements, he agreed for a wage. Number 2, watch this. He agreed to work. I don't know what made any of you think that when God saved you, He saved you to sit on a pew. He didn't. He saved you not only to get you out of hell, but to work in the kingdom. Work different than a paycheck. Work involves sweat. Work involves inconvenience. Well, I'll come to church if it's convenient. I've never seen nobody do nothing for God serving on convenience. We live in a lifestyle, we all want convenience. Drive through everything. What happened old time? Just getting right with God. God, I come your way. Now I'm going to do things your way. Now there was an agreement made. Do you remember the agreement you made? You said, Lord, I will. Don't back out on what you said now. Now the agreement, we agreed for a wage. We agreed for a work. I will say, we agreed for a witness. We're children in a vineyard in the kingdom. What a privilege. What a privilege to be in God's kingdom. What a privilege to be in a vineyard like in Liberty Baptist Church. God has many different vineyards that are all put in the storehouse in one place. But oh, in this vineyard this morning, the vineyard that God's called you in, what are you doing in the vineyard? Man, many of you say, well, preacher, we love you. Man, I mean, you preach the Bible to us, but now you just take care of everything. Well, let me tell you, three or four can't take care of everything. We need workers in the vineyard. Matter of fact, there's plenty to do. I've heard people say, well, I wish I had something to do. Well, just get busy. There's plenty to do in God's vineyard. Now, I want to say that in this agreement, we agreed to work. We agreed, therefore, to witness. We agreed to watch. You've got to watch things when a vineyard is planted. Some people's got to watch. Some people's got to work. Some people has got to engage in warfare. I'm going to tell you, the birds and the dogs will come in and they'll destroy the vineyard of God. Oh my, there was an agreement made. But then, verses 8 through 11, not only is there an arrangement, an agreement, there's an argument. Now, they had to be Baptists. Because in verse number 8, so when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said to his steward, and by the way, it's getting late. Call the laborers and give them their hire. Begin and watch this. Look how he done it. From the last to the first. When they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received a penny. And when the first came, they supposed they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. There was arguments. I want to say in their argumentative statement, it showed their unappreciation. I'm going to tell you something. It's great to be a child in the kingdom. They forgot about where God found them. They forgot about standing in line at that market fair that nobody else came to where they were. Nobody else offered a wage to them, but God come to them. Now they're unappreciative of what God has done for them. That reminds me of the culture that we live, that I preach and that I practice. This sin. We've got all so unthankful of what God's done for. Reminds me of these ball players, these big contracts. Sign a contract for $40 million a year. Mickey Mouse comes along, gets $50 million. Now $40 ain't good enough and they balk and they go back to the guy that wrote the contract and say, that ain't good enough no more. Can I ask you something? Why ain't God good enough for you no more? Why ain't God what He used to be to you? Man, I'm going to tell you, this thing of being a Christian is not a Sunday morning affair. It's a lifestyle. If your life has never been changed, you've never met Jesus. It does matter to me if you're watching, but honey, when you're not watching, there's somebody living in me that's a watching and a talking to me and a walking through me. Their arguments reminds me of a lot of folks I know. Well, look how God's blessing him. Why ain't God blessing me? Well, you might ought to go back to doing what he hired you to do. A little jealousy throwed their head up. Well, why's God blessing them? God's blessing you. The devil will never show you what you got. He'll just show you what you had. Can you put a price on your children? You know, a lot of us, now, I know that Brother Gerald don't mind me using this. He and I are friends. I'm his pastor. Let me tell you, isn't it amazing? Brother Jeff Liggett left here Sunday. He can't talk this morning. He has no motor skill. What's that worth to you? What's it worth to you to be able to climb these stairs? Hey, Ken Bowman, what's it worth to you to have eyes to see this Bible? What's it worth to you, Ken Bowman, to have a mouth that can talk? What's it worth to you, Ken, to have a people to preach to? I want to say nobody gets a raw deal in the kingdom. Nobody is mistreated in the kingdom. It showed their unthankfulness. Well, look at the job he's got. Brother Dad, you'd be amazed at the preachers used to throw off on me. I've heard it say, if Ken Bowman was really a preacher, he wouldn't have that job he had. Well, that's crazy. What a great God that loves His children in a great kingdom. And let me tell you, if I have to go back to milking cows and hauling hay for a living, I've done it once and I can do it again. But to God be the glory. He's been way too good for me to sit down and whine about this. Hallelujah. Is anybody glad that God put them in the kingdom this morning? I got to grumbling. Well, we come in at 6 o'clock. You don't let that boy come in at the midnight hour. He's getting what I got. You ought to be glad you ain't getting what you was going to get. You better be glad you ain't getting what you was going to get. How could any of us complain about a God that said, don't worry about it, I'm going to do right. Oh, Lord, I love preaching here. Some of you hate I do, but I love preaching here. Brother Gerald had a heart attack. Did you know, Miss Peggy, he could have died just as easy as he lived? Megan Macy, you think just because your daddy's 52 years old, I'm going to live forever? Parker, Levy, Sophie, you think just because your granddaddy's got a Bible, he's going to live forever? That don't mean I'm going to live forever. There's things you can't put a price on. And we better wake up and realize God has not done nobody wrong in the building. Our God deserves all the honor and all the praise. What a God that get us out of hell this morning. There are no bad deals in the kingdom. No bad deals in the kingdom. Oh, I've got so much. I won't be honest with you, just what Brother David said. And I've got to say this honestly, this is 7 years. God told me to leave what we was doing, we did. We got more than we've ever had. Yeah, there are some men that make more. I could, no doubt, probably be making more. But I couldn't have more. Let me say that again. I might have been making more, but I couldn't have more. I commend some of you that the corporate world has offered a real pretty rainbow in the sky, and you said, no, my family is worth more than that. My church is worth more than that. There was an argument. You got any arguments with God? Well, I'm just not satisfied with what you give me. Well, we might ought to look at what we could have had. Amen. And where we could be. You can take in this church, and I try to keep preaching simple, plain. You take the one that makes the most money, and you take the one that makes the least money. You put them all in a basket, and you shake them out, and you know what? They'll all hit the floor at the same time. And we better really realize what is valuable to us this morning. What really matters? God's give nobody a bad deal. There was an argument involved. And I want to say this argument, it showed that they were unappreciative. If there's anything that bothers me is to deal with people that's unappreciative. There was one time that I employed nearly 200 people. If anything bothered me, when I wanted to be good to them, they took advantage of me, and they got unthankful and ungrateful. And just because I'd done it once, they thought I ought to do it every Friday. But that ain't the way it works. That ain't the real wire. Unappreciative. We ought to... let me tell you what our problem is. We're so spoiled. Man, God's been good to us. What's life mean to you? Let me ask you this. What's heaven mean to you? You see, this argument, it simply told on them and said they were unappreciative. And number two, it showed they were unfaithful. Now, watch this. A writer gave me this and I wrote it down. I believe with all my heart I got to thinking about something. With their argument saying, God, I agreed with you for this, but now it ain't enough. Well, me and you done agreed over now. I'm going to come back on my word. See, it ain't God, it's us. And so that shows not only unappreciation, it shows unfaithfulness. Some focus mostly on wages. And others mostly on work. I had them people work for me. They weren't interested in the work. They wanted the wage. And I want to keep it real. We've got to make enough to live and sort of enjoy life. I understand that. But let me tell y'all something. It's not all about wages. It's about faithfulness that God has called us to do. You know where I keep myself in check? I keep myself in check like this. God, can I be anywhere else but here this morning pastoring? If I can, I need to be. And it's not about a paycheck. It ain't about wait, it's about the work. Look what God has entrusted you with. Has to do with faithfulness. Now, when Grandpa left the hayfield, left us with a tractor and a trailer, and them hay bales was on the ground, when he come back to the gatepost that evening, he expected some hay to be out of the field and in the barn. Faithfulness. Are you faithful with what God has placed you at? Are you faithful? Are you faithful in praying? Are you faithful in serving God? Are you faithful in being light? Are you faithful in being a witness for Jesus? Are you faithful? Are you just faithful in what He's given you to do? Be faithful. God rewards faithfulness. Young people, listen to me. Be faithful to God first before the ball field. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to God before your job. Be faithful to God before your marriage. If he don't love God now, he probably ain't going to love God later. Quit fooling with him. Amen. Some of you ain't going to like that, but I didn't come down here to get you like me today. Faithfulness. We need to be faithful. God wants us. Let me tell you something. God has put you in places that me and Brother Mike cannot reach. He's put you in areas of ministry that nobody else can do except for you. Do you remember what you used to do for Jesus? Why have you quit? Let me tell you. God ain't been bad to nobody this morning. There was an argument. It showed unappreciation. It showed unfaithfulness. And then also it showed unhappiness. Do you remember when he found you and how he found you, how messed up you was? Verse number 7, their happiness had gone. Then said to them, because no man hath hired us, he said to them, go ye also in the vineyard, whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Let me tell you, God always does what's right. Not what's wrong. It showed unhappiness. They were not satisfied no longer being in the kingdom with what God told them they could have. Man, y'all kill me sometimes. You walk in church like, oh no, it's church. Oh no, it's church. We'll be saying, hooray to Jesus, it's church time. I know you can't, but you ought to go to some places that I go to and see what you've got here. Some of you ought to go see some people that up in Kentucky the other week, I bet you that the average income of that whole town I was in was probably a fourth of what every family in this ministry nearly make. Let me tell you what, money's not made them happy. Just being happy in the Lord is where it's at with them. Have you lost your joy being in the kingdom? It's wonderful being a child of God. Look, I'm nobody's dummy. I love to have things. I appreciate nice things of life. But let me tell you, that don't bring joy. Only Jesus brings joy. Have you lost your joy? Have you lost your happiness? It shows great unhappiness. Lord, I'm no longer happy with you. I don't know if he saved you to make you happy. He saved you to work in the kingdom and get you out of hell. And so that ought to make us joyful. We need Cy up here singing, happy, 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 happy. The arguments. And it also showed not only their unhappiness, it showed they were unchristian. If you always have to have the head of the line privileges and the chief seats in the synagogues, you're going to be a poor servant for Jesus Christ. If you've always got to be ahead of somebody, you're not going to do much in the kingdom. I love what Brother Randy taught the other morning. He spoke volumes. Well, there's enough to go around. Ain't no sense trying to push nobody down as we go through this thing. God's got plenty in the kingdom for everybody. There's no use in trying to make nobody look bad. There's enough to go around. There's enough grace, amen. There's enough groceries. God's been good to us. Now, they had an issue. There was an argument. But then lastly, there's an assessment. Now, I want to say, first of all, grace provides a bigger blessing than merit. Now, those that came the 3rd, 6th, 9th, and 11th hour got the same thing that came on board the first place. For salvation has to say. We're not talking about works where we're going to stand before the judgment bar of God that everybody gets the same thing. No, no, let me tell you, we're all in the body of Christ. Whether you got there earlier or you come in late, we all stand even at Calvary. And we ought to be thankful that we're in the kingdom. He's not talking about heavenly rewards. He's talking about now. Now I will say this assessment. Grace provides a bigger blessing than merit. Number two, look at verse 13. But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong." I want to remind you, Jesus is your friend. What a friend that we have in Jesus. What a friend I've got in Christ. Let me tell you, I've got some of the best friends in my life here. But let me tell you something. There's nobody never been a friend to me like Jesus. And I can tell you right now, there's never been nobody a friend to you like Jesus. Jesus is a friend. And then, in verse 7, they say to him, "Because no man hath hired us." I want to say, Jesus is the best that you'll ever work for. Now, when I quit my job 7 years ago, that man was real good to me. I'm going to be honest with you. He done things for me he didn't have to do. That man was good to me. But you know what? He ain't giving me no mansion to live in when I die. He ain't giving me a street of gold to walk around. He's not got me out of a lake of fire. Man, some of you think, you know, and I think the problem with you all is this, in the day in which we live. We're looking for a payday Friday. Well, what am I going to get for serving God? Let me ask you this. What's he going to get? He found you. What's he getting? He's the one invested in you. What's his return? God's been good to me. Has he been good to anybody in the house? And then, I want to say that Jesus is your friend. Jesus is the best you'll ever work for. And then, verses 3 through 6, Jesus is Lord of what's left. The Bible said some come in the 11th hour. Brother Larry, I love what he told me a while ago. He said, "Preacher, he's on my side now." I think Brother Larry was 67. A lot of you nearly 70 when God saved you. Well, let me tell you something. He is the Lord of what's left. Some of you say, "Well, preacher, I don't have a heritage." Start you one today. Start you one. You say, "Well, preacher, I've just got saved. Look at the age I am." Well, let me tell you. He's the Lord of what's left. Redeeming the time. I don't know about y'all, but I live for the devil too long. I'm ready to serve God and do something for His kingdom. Listen, He's going to come settle up. He wants to see fruit from His vineyard. Any of y'all ever been involved in planting? Number one, somebody's got to buy the plants. Somebody's got to dig the holes. Somebody's got to set them out. Somebody's got to water them. Somebody's got to pick the fruit. Somebody's got to guard the fruit. Somebody's got to put it up in a jar and can it. Praise God right there. It's a lot to this kingdom. And we all have a very special place in the kingdom. Don't you see there's no big ones and there's no little ones. We all stand even at the foot of the cross. Jesus paid as much for the first as He did the last. Sir, Jesus paid as much for you as He did me. Ma'am, Jesus paid as much for you as He did me. What a God, what a friend we have in Jesus. Miss Sherry, I want you to come this morning. And I wish you'd display something for me. You may be here today and you've never been saved by God's grace. I'm going to tell you something. I've made mistakes since I've been saved. I've done things that I'm not real happy about. But I'm going to tell you, I've never regretted the day that the Lord saved me. Let's stand our feet all around the house this morning. There's no reason to argue with God about what's going on. Just stay committed. He's going to do what's right. He always does what's right. That's what He said. He said, "Don't y'all worry about that. I'm going to do what's right." That's something you can trust about Him. He's always going to do what's right. And I praise Him for that kind of God.